Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Components. I'm Ren, product marketer at Heretto and your podcast MC.
I'm Patrick, CEO here at Heretto.
And I'm Jared, lead solutions consultant.
Thanks for joining us on our weekly conversation about componentized and structured content. Hope you enjoy this 15 or so minutes of fun talking about everything from data to innovations in AI.
All right, let's get into it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Components. Today, we are here with Carlos Evia from Virginia Tech and the editor of Content Operations from Start to Scale. Welcome, Carlos.
Hello. Thank you, Patrick. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm so glad that you're here to talk about this new book coming out that we've been working on. Do you want to give us a little bit more of your background before we jump into today's discussion?
Yeah, I've been here at Virginia Tech for 20 years. This is my 20th year at Virginia Tech, and I'm a
congratulations
professor in the School of Communication, and I'm also an associate dean and chief technology officer of the College of Liberal Arts and Human Sciences. And what that means is that I go to a bunch of meetings and people get mad at me when their computers don't work. And that reminds me that, oh, why are people getting mad at me? I'm just a professor. But, you know, I have this other job, so that's life.
So it seems like you like to do a lot of things. And one of those things is this new book that we've been working on for a couple of years, which is about how to operationalize your content. And I'm really excited to dig in today with you and talk about what we did here and what people can do with it.
All right, let's do it.
So this season on Components, we are doing a special series, which is dedicated to a book that is about to come out that you quarterbacked and got us all the way from a bunch of different authors to what is going to be an official textbook, right?
It's not necessarily meant as a textbook. I mean, it can be a reader for people in industry, people in academia, faculty, grad students, and even undergraduate students. But I think, you know, we have an ambitious, broad audience of anybody who is interested in the concept of content operations or content ops. Yes. So it flows like a textbook, but it's not necessarily meant to be used in a classroom. It can be for people who want to learn at their own pace, or just people who want to read about what the conversation is in with industry leaders writing or talking about content operations.
Yeah, so the whole title of the book is Content Operations from Start to Scale. It's a collection of chapters by different industry experts, right?
Yes, there's more to the title than, you know, the Content Operations from Start to Scale, Perspectives from Industry Experts. You know, it has to be a long title, or no academic publisher would print it. It has to be, you know, it has to sound academic and formal. There's a gravitas.
All right. So is there like a minimum number of characters we have to reach to get it published by Virginia Tech?
I don't know, but we drafted many versions of this title. And when I say we, I of course include you because, you know, again, I'm going to spoil more of the conversation, but you were very influential to the production and actually development of the whole book project.
Yeah, I think I was kind of one of the original group that came together with this, which was also including Sarah O'Keefe, Rahel Bailey, and then Jeff McIntyre came in a little bit later, right?
Yeah.
And then we kind of expanded out a little bit further. So could you actually give us the full list of authors who are going to be, you'll find in this book?
Absolutely. Well, if we go by the actual table of contents and not like what we prefer, the sequence of when they joined the team, Dean Barker was very generous to write a foreword for the book. And then I decided that I was going to do a blah, blah, blah introduction. So that's what follows. Then, as you mentioned, Rahel Bailey, who was, I think, number three, she came after you. She decided that she wanted to write a definition of content operations that became quite the detailed chapter that is actually the official chapter one of the book. Then Sarah O'Keefe, who is like the mommy of this project, she was there since day one, has a chapter on the business case for content operation. And then we decided that we wanted to have something about content operations governance, and somebody recommended Kate Kenyon. Then Rahel and I have another chapter that we co-wrote about what does it mean to actually do operations with content creation, and we can talk about that later. And then we invited Kevin Nichols to write about customer experience and content operations. Like you mentioned, Jeff McIntyre then came to do personalization and content operations. And Lois Searle wrote a good chapter on localization and content operations. And then we have you providing an overview of the technology that supports content operations at different scales. And we wrap up with a couple of two pieces of writing that we're not counting as official chapters. We have an epilogue from Jonathan McFadden, who is at Shopify, and then an afterword from Jason Schwartz, who is at North Carolina State University. So that is the list of official list of contributors, and we can talk more about who invited whom, if I remember. But like you said, the original team was, it started with Sarah O'Keefe and some of the people at Scriptorium, and I was there with some of my grad students actually at the point. And then when I met you at one of the DITA North America conferences, we started talking, and then Sarah said, we have to invite Patrick to write something about the technology. And then we called Rahel, who was working with me on another project related to lightweight DITA. And then we just kept snowballing and inviting more people to contribute chapters to this book.
Yeah, it was a very interesting effort. Like, I actually got to meet a few people through this book, which was really nice. And, you know, I think it came out really well. I think it's a really interesting piece of content. And I think the thing that I like most about what we did here was I feel like it's kind of timeless. Like, a lot of the stuff that's in this book is stuff that will have relevance, you know, today, in 5 years and in 10 years, even with all the changes happening out in the marketplace. You know, obviously AI is, you know, the elephant in the room for every conversation about content. But I do think that this book will stand the test of time, and it will still be relevant, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because, you know, that was the plan. The plan was not do something that was going to be connected to one specific tool. And as you know, disclaimer, I use Heredo in my courses. Thank you very much. But we didn't want to write this about a tool or even as a standard. It's not a book about DITA. So it's not a book necessarily about technical publications or technical communication, because we have contributors that are in user experience, are in content marketing. So we provide structural and then some applied cases that, like you said, we hope that are going to be relevant, not just today, but in a few years, that people will still read it and be like, oh, okay, that's how I take a content strategy. And before I do any specific tactics of I need to write this blog post, or I need to write this one piece of my website, or this one page of my PDF, I need to think about how am I going to make my content strategy operational in a way that then it can create those tactics and those deliverables, not one time, but in a, you know, constant flow of information that I need to have for my content needs. So that's what we hope.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think that there's a lot of people who are out in, you know, the general industry that are looking for ways to go from, you know, very kind of generalized, and I don't want to say disorganized, but want to say maybe ad hoc is a better word, where they're, you know, you pick up a tool like WordPress and like it gives you an easy publish button, but those things just don't scale. And, you know, the thing that we've seen for a long time is that organizations, especially in the age of digital publishing, the old methodologies for managing and publishing content just don't work anymore, which is kind of where I think the idea of operationalizing content production and then looking at like the tools and systems that fall underneath it are critical. So is it right to frame this book as kind of being, I mean, 101 seems like it kind of diminishes the value, because that's like the first, what are you, like 18 when you take 101 courses? But kind of like this is kind of the foundation. Would you think of this as a foundation for, you know, professionals looking to build sustainable content systems?
I think it is foundational, because it covers quite the spectrum of content needs. And there are some specific dimensions and cases that we present that say it like that. This is if you have these specific needs for your content operations, if your content is probably trapped in a Microsoft Word file and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get it out of Word and put it on the web? That's a need, and you need content operations. So we can give you some ideas on how to improve or advance your content operations if you're in that situation. But we also cover if you have a more robust or a more demanding content workflow and you have several deliverables and content that is actually in some sort of structured format and you might have a sophisticated content management system. We also tell you how to do that. But I think that the problem that makes me not jump into saying that it's introductory is the fact that this book is about a specific type of content that we have been talking and writing about for years, which is enterprise level content. So if you are somebody who's doing TikToks or YouTubes and that's your content, you take a look at this book and you're like, oh, it's going to help me. It's content operations. You might read it and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like if one day your content becomes multi-channel, if one day your content has to be published in different formats and different platforms or even different languages. That's why I think that an introductory book on content operations would be aimed at, you know, all sorts of content. Whereas I think that at the heart of this one is enterprise level content, which, you know, it's still, you can still find people who are at the introductory level of those things. I mean, not because you have a big company or work for a big company means that you're an expert in content. Actually, many big companies need to start at an introductory level. Yeah. But I think that's where this book is situated.
I think that's a really good point. I always forget because, you know, I'm day to day, I think of content as being one very specific thing, right? Like we work on technical knowledge, learning content all day, every day. It's like all I think about. So I forget that when most people say content, they think of TikTok, not of 50,000 pages of reference material published in 10 languages, right? Like, so that's just a disconnect that I have, but that's a really good call out that this is content operations for people who are looking to build scalable enterprise systems, which I don't think, you know, I think there's a little bit of an indication there that this is only for people in big companies. And I think that maybe is something we should dispel a little bit, where it's anybody who's looking to publish, you know, textual media driven, but media, but not like, you know, short form video, but knowledge style or organizational style or whatever it may be, content at scale. And that could be medical content. It could be pharmacological content. It could be content for software systems. It could be content for hardware systems. Like, there's all kinds of different things that it could be, but it definitely isn't TikTok. This isn't for, you know, people posting videos on YouTube or whatever it may be.
And there's a level of entertainment content that needs this. For example, like one of my former students was the director of content at Digital Ventures, which has work on, Red Ventures has work on digitizing TV Guide and many other of those, you know, magazines and publications. And that's entertainment content that uses multimedia, but it's not just one person or a team of people doing TikToks and YouTube videos. But hey, if you're a TikToker and YouTuber team and you decide that you're going to start doing multi-platform content operations, this book could really help you. Who knows? Maybe Mr. Beast will give us a couple million dollars or something like that in his next video. Yeah,
I don't know. So, Carlos, are you saying the inverse is true, that my documentation isn't entertaining?
Oh, well, you will have to ask my students. I have tried for many years to make my classes on creating technical documentation entertaining, and sometimes I fail miserably.
Well, I think that, you know, the entertainment is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.